Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. We have several questions for you today. Do you believe words are important to God? Do you believe that every one of the 800,000 words in the Bible, that they're strategically placed to benefit those who love Him? Do you believe that when God says something, He means it, even if we don't understand every word? Do you believe the words in the Bible offer us a roadmap for enjoying and experiencing the good life, the God kind of life? Do you believe that the collective wisdom in the Word of God is far more insightful than every book on marriage or finances ever written? Now, we trust you said yes to all of these previously asked questions. If not, you may need a spiritual checkup from the neck up. The reason for these questions is this. I was stirred, troubled, and provoked this morning as I was reading Mark 10, 7 and 8.
Mark 10, verses 7 and 8 say, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh, so that they are no more twain but one flesh." That verse, especially verse 8 in the Classic Amplified Bible, says, "And the two shall become one flesh, so that they are no longer two but one flesh." But let's look at one more translation. Verse 8 in the Message Bible, it says, "Because of this, a man leaves father and mother, and in marriage, he becomes one flesh with a woman, no longer two individuals, but forming a new unity."
Now, let me say this, it just stirred that some of you may be single, and you say, "What does this have to do with me?" Well, it has to do with you because you may not be single the rest of your life. Because you may have children or grandchildren that are not single, or they may be friends that you can minister to. So stay with us. When a man and a woman get married, and let me be clear, marriage is supposed to be between a man and a woman. To think otherwise is an insult to God's creation and a clear indication that the person declaring it's not, well, they're not familiar with Scripture. Romans 1, 24 through 27 would be a good place to start for doubters.
Marriage is between a man and a woman according to the Scriptures. 1 + 1 = 1. The husband and wife joined together in holy matrimony become one flesh, a unity, the symbol of one. The meaning of one in Mark 10, verse 8. Mark 10, 8 has the same meaning as one in Mark 12, verse 29. Mark 12, 29. Even though they are translated from different Greek words, they are both translated as one. In Mark 12, verse 29, it says, "And Jesus answered them, 'The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.'"
Honey, I think for the purpose of this call and for life, we can agree that one means one. We think it's also important to consider Mark 10:9, the way it says it in the Classic Amplified Bible.
Mark 10, verse 9 says, "What therefore God has united, joined together, let not man separate or divide."
Let us make one other point. Well, let me say this. I had not planned on this teaching about this subject, but I was clearly directed to do so by the Lord. I do have one request before proceeding. Please listen to this entire teaching before finalizing your opinion. I'm smiling, by the way. In the 21st century, it's become fashionable and often recommended by financial experts that couples have his and her checking accounts. The logic is simple. What is mine, and what is yours. But you know, that's like saying marriage doesn't mean that you have to share everything. I've had couples tell me that it makes life easier for them. To me, perhaps to us.
There you go.
It simply means that the couples have taken the first step towards separation, whether financial or legal. When couples have separate checking accounts, I mean, there's a part of their life that's being withheld from your life, even though you've agreed to be one flesh. Now, I do recognize that some spouses are spiritual knuckleheads, as well as being financially illiterate. I recognize that some spouses are against tithing and giving offerings. And the only way the other spouse can do it is to maintain a separate checking account. We also recognize that some people are married to spouses that are inconsiderate, if not deceptive, when it comes to money. I recognize that some spouses will never talk to their spouse about finances and money matters. Now, while we recognize all these things, we still think God somehow took this into account when He divinely inspired every single word in the Scripture. It may take a little more prayer and effort, but the word has to be doable or it wouldn't be in the Bible. And God certainly is not caught off guard by the antics of the 21st century.
Husband and wife.
That's it.
Facts change. Truth does remain the same. Sometimes living in truth is not easy, but that doesn't minimize the fact that truth is the truth, particularly the truth of God's Word. If you have separate checking accounts, it's basically saying, I really don't totally trust my spouse. Separate checking accounts allows a spouse to kind of hide expenses and basically, quote, do their own thing, end quote, just as they did when they were single. Well, the point is, are you single or are you married? And that's the question. Whether knowingly or unknowingly, separate checking accounts also sends a message that questions whether or not the marriage is sound.
Let me quickly add, honey, that the husband should not be dictatorial when it comes to a checkbook and financial decisions. But neither should be the wife. Whoever controls the checkbook should remember that you are one with your spouse. The same is true with a budget or family spending plan or really how to raise a family.
True.
If the two of you are working together on one plan, then I'll do my thing and you do yours. See, the bottom line of marriage is we're in this together. It takes both of you to make it happen.
I think that's what the Bible meant when they said helpmates.
That's exactly right. Each spouse should have access to
to the checkbook, the debit card, and cash. You know, if you and your spouse, after prayerfully considering, have decided to have two checking accounts, I strongly recommend that you reconcile those accounts at the same time and together. Both spouses should know about all the investments, insurance policies, and estate plans. There are three primary things that wives fear in a marital relationship.
And honey, that's death, divorce, and debt.
There you go.
Debt, divorce, and death. If a man loves his wife, then he should want her as knowledgeable as possible and prepared for any eventuality.
And the same thing with women.
That's exactly right. If spouses are openly discussing the family's financial situation, it lessens the possibility of confusion. I think spouses should agree that any purchase over a certain amount has to be agreed to by both. I don't really care. We don't. Who brings home the bacon? And it should not be a matter of one badgering the other to get their way. The do unto others scripture is well applicable here. We consider the family's contribution of a stay-at-home mom as significant, and her job as demanding as that of any man. The pressure points may be different, but stress is stress, regardless of how you characterize it. We also think that couples should have extensive and truthful financial conversations before they ever say, I do.
And so many don't.
Nope, they don't. In fact, unfortunately, some hide the truth until after they're married.
Oh my goodness, that's true.
There should never be any financial surprises waiting for newlyweds after the honeymoon. Personally, we see nothing wrong with asking to see your intended's credit bureau report before you get married.
I suggest that to a couple, once and both thought it was too personal. You know, when you marry someone, your credit score directly affects your entire life. Now, how personal is that? Marriage is about intimacy and personal knowledge of and with your spouse. If a spouse or a partner that you're about to share your life with is unwilling to share a credit bureau file, then it has to make you wonder if there's something in there they don't want you to see. I have heard, and I mean we have heard, too many horror stories about spouses who hid undisclosed debt, financial obligations, until after the marriage, and that is a tough way and not a good way to start a marriage.
Honey, so you got to ask yourself, why would somebody do that unless their motivation is deceitful? It's better to bear your finances before your body.
There you go.
Or you're exposing yourself to possible heartache.
Mm. Mark 10, verse 8. In the Message Bible, let us be reminded, it says, no longer two individuals, but forming a new unit. Unity. How can there possibly be unity in a marriage if you're both leading separate financial lives?
You know, honey, earlier this morning, I read a couple of quotes from Billy Sunday, the former professional baseball player and a highly successful evangelist. If you've never read about Billy Sunday, you really owe it to yourself to do so. But Billy Sunday said once, better die an old maid, sister, than marry the wrong man.
There's a lot of truth in that.
Honey, I remember being on an airplane once, and I was looking, the lady sitting next beside me, her wedding ring wasn't on her left hand, it was on her right hand. I said, ma'am, you got your ring, man, your wedding ring on the wrong finger. She said, that's okay. I married the wrong man.
Ha ha, baby.
Well, I thought it was funny.
But I love the Billy Sunday quote that said,
this is powerful.
It is powerful. Try praising your wife, even if it does frighten her at first. Now, that's a good sense of humor.
And that's a good way to stop. Good
yes,
place
it
to
is.
Stop. It is. Listen, here's the bottom line. Wisdom. Wisdom and decisions. Recognizing that you're one, as we said earlier on the call, 1 + 1 = 1. You become one flesh. You need to act like it. And if you're both doing your own thing separate, then you're not really one flesh.
That's true.
If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com at the top where it says soul seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And by the way, you can tell we do these things live because of the, well.
Because they're just live.
Just live.
And we're alive.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Well, have a fantastic Friday. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.